May it please the court, my name is William Benjamin, attorney for Dana Starr, the appellant in this case. As set out in our brief, the legal issue we believe here is whether Ms. Starr should be denied unemployment benefits for having taken items from the hospital which she asserts had no value.
Mr. Benjamin, my curiosity requires me to ask this. Is this the only reason your client was fired after 26 years?
That's the only reason given by the hospital.
Okay, and now they're fighting the unemployment. The toilet paper, this case has raised issues I confess I've not paid attention to till I read your briefs, but now I'm noticing all of the toilet paper places wherever I go, and I notice in the courthouse the toilet papers are locked. Was there a lock on in this particular business? And that, in other words, if there's no roll, there are usually two rolls, and when one becomes empty, the other one falls down, but the service people who fill them up have to open it with a key. Is that the case in your employers here?
Well,
or do you not know?
Well, I'm not certain, but in this case, Ms. Starr stated that she only picked up end rolls that were on the ground.
And is there any, was there any evidence that suggested this was inaccurate? Anybody dispute her claim that the rolls were on the floor or in a place that would have been abandoned?
Well, there was one witness that claimed that she walked into a restroom and found my client with 20 or 25 rolls of toilet paper that my client absolutely denies ever happened. And other than that anecdotal evidence, there's no evidence that she did anything but pick up the toilet rolls from the floor, at least in as I read the decision.
That was her testimony, and that was, we don't have a finding of fact as to whether he believed, the ALJ believed that or not, do we? I mean, it's hard to know from the order short.
Well,
the reason I'm asking is you're talking about value and theft, and I'm just wondering, was it trash? Was this property abandoned, or did it actually belong to the owner at that stage?
Well, Ms. Starr believed that it was trash. She picked it up off the floor in restroom stalls, and she had no doubt that it had no value. Actually, the closest that the hearing officer found as to this matter was his finding, I think, that Starr was, quote, taking at least end rolls of toilet paper without permission. So that's what we believe. He did not believe this other witness who's claimed that she saw the Starr with all these full rows of toilet paper.
Well, let's extend the issue of value a little bit further. We have no evidence whether the end rolls of toilet paper had little value or no value at all, do we?
No, the hospital gave them no value. They simply said it was their property.
However, could we not speculate that if there were enough end rolls of toilet paper to be recycled, that possibly the hospital, the employer, could recover some funds by selling its trash, recycling it, and it would be the employer's property, would it not?
Well, they made no claim that they would have recycled them. My client showed that the only end rolls she had were almost rolled to the ends, obviously, and she believed that would only be thrown out because they were on the floor. I don't know, perhaps the hospital would have a response to whether they believed there was proof of value, but we submit that there was no finding of value by the hearing officer.
Well, it seems to me that the issue is whether or not it was property of the employer, as opposed to whether or not it had sufficient value to be important to the employer. Do you have anything that would be, any authority that is contrary to that?
Yes, actually, Your Honor, when I was reviewing the case yesterday, I looked up the citations in the hospital's brief, and I noticed that they cited the case of Sigala versus Atencio's Market, which was a Supreme Court case from last year. And when I read that, I was amazed at how, in my opinion, that almost tracked the facts in our particular case, because in that case, it involved the workers' compensation statutes, and it involved the word suspension or suspended. And the question was, when the word suspended was in two different sections of the workers' comp statute, should they or could they be given different meanings based on the context of the statutes of the sections they were in? And this court affirmed a decision of the panel that indeed the word suspended or suspension could be given those two different meanings, but the Supreme Court reversed and said that when the same word is found in more than one part of a statute, it must be given the same meaning. In this case, of course, we're dealing with two different statutes, not sections of the same statute.
In Atencio, wasn't it two statutes in the same scheme, the workers' comp scheme, whereas here you have unemployment statutes and you have the analogous statute would be criminal?
Exactly.
Is that different?
Well, yes, it's certainly different, but in my opinion, it should not be treated differently than, we're talking about legislative intent, presumably, what the General Assembly intended when they passed those two particular laws. And it would seem to me that when the General Assembly says you can only be prosecuted for theft if there's something of value, that same definition ought to hold for the General Assembly's finding in the unemployment section that being discharged for theft and the denial of unemployment benefits should be treated the same. And the only...
Does she lose all her benefits because it's theft? Or does she get... partial loss?
Well, the way it's done is you lose 25 weeks out of the 26 weeks available because there's a federal law that says a person cannot lose all of them. So Colorado goes right up to the edge.
Because it was theft? Or does that happen with any disqualification?
Well, any disqualification is has the same sanctions there.
Okay, thank you.
Of course, both of myself and the other attorneys in this case have cited the case of Jefferson County versus Kaiser, which is the only published case on this particular subsection of the unemployment statute. And but that was for an entirely different reason. I mean, the issue is whether a sheriff's deputy who shoplifted outside of work should be denied benefits for theft. And the Court of Appeals panel at the time said that it doesn't matter, theft means theft, whether you're stealing from the employer or on employer time or outside of it. And they cited, the Kaiser case cites Webster's Encyclopedic Unabridged Dictionary of the 1989 edition for the definition of theft, but we submit that a more logical way of approaching it would be to say that if the General Assembly defines theft in the criminal case, in the criminal code, it ought to apply the same rule to unemployment, unless there's some other language there that would allow a different interpretation to be made. And it's, you know, it's remarkable that in the unemployment insurance code, the only disqualifying act that has only one word in it is this particular one, quote, theft. There's no language there that would allow, in my opinion, a court to find that the General Assembly had only intended to have that statute defined by a 1989 dictionary.
Mr. Benjamin, I understand the argument that you're making that we should read a value requirement into the theft requirement, but aren't there good public policy reasons to, for a hospital especially, not to permit its trash to be stolen, even if it were considered to be trash and possibly valueless?
Well, I'm sure there would be, but in this case, we submit it was only used as a subterfuge to terminate a 26-year-old employee. I don't believe there's any justification.
Why was there subterfuge necessary? I think that's what Judge Rothenberg was asking about earlier.
Right.
Was there more to this than we're aware of?
Well, indeed there is, but it was not brought out at the hearing. And in fact, I think there's a pending EEOC case on this matter at this time. I have nothing further.
Counsel, you have about a little over 3 minutes left for rebuttal.
Ma'am, please support Stu Steller, Kaplan and Ernest here on behalf of the Community Hospital Association.
Say your name again.
Stu Steller.
Okay, thank you.
And, Your Honor, let me just begin. Mr. Benjamin, to his credit, presents you with a very straightforward argument. He asks you to overturn or at least to depart from the precedent of Kaiser, which held that the term theft as used in the Colorado Employment Security Act should be given its plain and ordinary meaning. Your Honor, as we pointed out in our briefs, even if you were to do that, there is evidence in the record of value. This is not a case where a product that was purchased for a specific use, it was used for that use and simply could no longer be used for that use again and therefore was discarded. This was purchased for a specific use. It was placed in the location where you would use it, that is the restroom. And Ms. Starr took it.
So her testimony was that she, if believed, and
sure,
we're not fact finders, it was on the floor and had been abandoned or it was above as in the nature of trash, not no longer usable or to be used, that she didn't take it off the rolls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, what do we do with that? Is that, and we don't have any finding, by the way, on that. And would it make a difference?
I don't think it would make a difference. And, Your Honor, this is part of the routine maintenance. They come in, they fill them up, and if it's not completely used, they will put two rolls on there that can be used and leave the other one there. Hopefully people will use that before they start using the others. But again, I mean, if we're to look at the, what do we do have findings about, as Mr. Benjamin pointed out here, he clearly found, the hearing officer clearly found it and expressly so said, the claimant clearly was taking end rolls of toilet paper without permission. Now, we can talk a lot about value and that sort of thing, but the Colorado Employment Security Act also provides an 873-105E7 that someone can be denied disqualified benefits if they, for the removal or attempted removal of employer's property from the premises of the employer without proper authority. So the hearing officer's finding that the claimant clearly was taking at least end rolls of toilet paper without permission is absolutely dispositive with respect to that that basis for disqualification.
Doesn't that section for qualification require serious damage to the employer's property or interests?
Your Honor, I believe that's only to the breaking the rules of the of the employer. And in addition, I don't want to be trivial about this. The hospital has a zero tolerance policy for theft. We're talking about toilet paper here. but hospitals have lots of goods that very desperate people will pay money for. That's narcotics and syringes and needles. The hospital's policy is if you can't be trusted with toilet paper, we're not going to be trusting you around those kinds of items. This is a very serious issue for the hospital. And
this was the only reason she was fired, was this?
This is the reason why she was denied benefits, yes, and the reason why she was fired.
Nothing else?
Your Honor, that's, we're,
nothing
in terms
in the
of, if there's an EEOC claim or an EEOC remedy.
We don't know about it.
Right.
It just seems so small. I mean, if you believe her testimony that she was taking the stuff to send guys, soldiers in Iraq, that these were, in her mind, abandoned, that she didn't realize she had to ask permission, is that really the kind of theft? Is it analogous to stealing a Coke or something from the cafeteria?
Your Honor, again, the hospital wants to have a zero tolerance policy, so they're not in the position of having to decide, well, was this serious enough or was that serious enough? Instead, there are materials within the hospital that are so serious, if you take something, anything from the hospital, it will not be tolerated. And that's the rule that the hospital established. So essentially what Ms. Starr is asking you to do is to take her policy preference, that is, that these end rolls should be used by people, by the service people in Iraq, rather than the patients and the patrons of the hospital, and substitute that over the hospital's policy that we're not going to tolerate theft of any sort here.
Let's go back to the value of another or the property of another. If, if, and we don't know from the finding, these rolls were on the floor, could they be deemed abandoned or trash?
Your Honor, if they were left there for other people to use and they got knocked over, that's certainly, you know, something that might happen during the course of the day. That's not an abandonment where they were taken out to the dumpster. They were in the restroom and, you know, by the toilets where they are to be used. I don't think that you could construe the fact that they got knocked down or something like that as being an affirmative abandonment by the hospital. If they wanted to abandon it, there's a trash receptacle there where they could throw the end rolls. Your Honor, with respect to the statute that Mr. Benjamin relies on, too, that statute, I think you're reaching a little too far to say that that has anything to do with the Colorado Employment Security Act. The first sentence there says, if any law of the state refers to or mentions larceny, stealing, embezzlement, false pretenses, confidence games, or shoplifting, that law shall be interpreted as if the word theft were substituted therefore. The Employment Security Act uses the word theft. It doesn't use those other terms. In addition, again, turning to the statute in the criminal code, it goes on to say, in the enactment of sections 18-4-401 to 18-4-403, it is the intent of the General Assembly to define one crime of theft and to incorporate therein such crimes, thereby removing distinctions and technicalities which previously existed in the pleading and proof of such crimes. I think that pretty clearly limits the scope of that statute to the criminal code, 18-4-401 to 18-4-403, and it talks about pleadings and crimes rather than denial of unemployment benefits. And in addition, the General Assembly has amended the provision of the Employment Security Act twice since Kaiser was decided, and it has left Kaiser alone, indicating that the General Assembly approves of this court's determination that we're just going to use the plain and ordinary meaning of the word. And finally, you would have to look to what is the practice of the enforcement authority, in this case, the Industrial Claims Appeals Office. And they have been relying on Kaiser. And it wouldn't make sense to try to create a split, an authority at this late stage of the game when the General Assembly has had the opportunity to, if they believe that was error, to correct that error, and they have twice chosen not to do so. Your Honors, if there are no other questions, I will give the rest of my time to Mr. Hegner if he has anything more to add. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Lee Hegner, appearing today on behalf of the Industrial Claim Appeals Office. Briefly to say that it appears as if the fundamental request that's being pursued here by the claimant is that this court, as well as the administrative law judge and the panel itself, rewrite a Colorado statute at the request of Ms. Starr. It's not within the authority of an ALJ to do that any more than I believe it is within the purview, the responsibility, or jurisdiction of the panel. It cannot simply decide that it should amend a statute written by the legislature. Secondly, these items taken had some value or they would not be taken. Third, to suggest that value is properly before this court on this matter under the rubric of the criminal code fails to address what I think is the fundamental reason for valuation being a part of the criminal code, which is to determine the extent to which a person will be punished. I'd submit that the only reason for a question of value being resolved is to determine whether or not a thief should be punished as if he had committed a misdemeanor or a felony. Absent that, there's no reason for a determination of value. I'd also ask you to consider that if you have a picture on your desk of your grandchild or your daughter or your son and someone takes it, that's an unlawful taking from your perspective. It has great value to you. And if it were taken from your office, you would have a heck of a time trying to come before any court saying this is the inherent or intrinsic value which justifies the termination of this employee for the commission of the act of theft. The fundamental thing, question that has been raised here is whether or not this court or the panel or the hearing officer should change the statute. And Mr. Benjamin stands here on behalf of the claimant and says the panel is at fault here because the panel failed to enforce the criminal law in this matter. Now, there is evidence in the record in this case as to the roles being stacked outside the dispenser. Judge Hawthorne, to answer your question, I believe it was yours, or perhaps yours, Judge Rothenberg, about locked dispensers. There are two parts of this hospital. One is constantly open to the public. And in that part of the hospital, the dispensers are not locked. And there are obvious reasons, because it's not simply patients and doctors and visitors, but it's people who walk in and out of the hospital. In other parts of the hospital, the dispensers are locked, making it very clear that these items have value to the hospital. And the last thing I'd like to ask you to consider is, we would suggest that it is not the prerogative of the claimant to determine what does and does not have value before the claimant arrogates to herself her entitlement to remove what she considers to be trash. The valuation placed on this, quite innocently, was identified by Mrs. Lindemann, who was a witness who said she encouraged the claimant to go to a place where she knew a great supply of toilet paper could be found and to remove it. And that she was encouraged to do this, and Miss Lindemann has said, and it's also on the record, that on many occasions when she would take the rolls which had been provided to her by Ms. Starr, she found there was too much paper on them for her to be able adequately to pack them to send them, theoretically, to troops in Iraq. Thank you.
I'd like to respond to the last statement about Ms. Lindemann. The only statement in the record is that Ms. Lindemann removed a couple sheets off of the end rolls that she was given by Ms. Starr in order to make them clean, in order to send them to the troops in Iraq. More important, though, is I think both gentlemen have claimed that we're trying to change the definition of theft here. Absolutely not. We're trying to ask that the same definition of theft that the General Assembly has in the criminal code be applied to the same word without any ornamentation in the unemployment area. We're just trying to make it uniform, in our opinion, by requiring that there be some value to anything where an employee is accused of theft, that it must be worth something before that person loses both their job and their unemployment benefits. And if there's no further questions, I'll thank you for your time.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. This matter will stand submitted, and an opinion will be entered in due course. The court will stand in recess, and the bailiff may so announce.